say it's not whether you win or lose.
But really, it's all about winning. I mean, come on. Hi there. Welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. So this week, my friends, we have AI. We have basketball. We have AI in basketball. Yeah, I know. Really doesn't get any better than that. Well, maybe a longer season for the Portland Trailblazers, but apparently that was asking too much. So, thanks to LinkedIn, I ran into a new story that could be filed under, I guess, theses you may have missed. So, I ran across the thesis of one of my LinkedIn connections, Simone Francia. So, his thesis at the University of Modena and Reggio Emilia uses, get this, deep learning to classify basketball player actions on the court. Super cool. So, the title of this project is called Jump, and the thesis revolves around the creation of what is called a force platform, or an advanced sensorial platform which is equipped with a sensorized floor and cameras with tracking algorithms capable of detecting and analyzing data. So, this system is actually able to determine stuff like the posture, the force curve, the kinematics, and a whole bunch of other really cool data on each of the subjects operating in a specific space. Their project included four different pilot tests, one performed on a basketball court, a volleyball court, a rehabilitation platform, and actually one with educational furniture for children. And from the video I've seen, it really works. So, if you'd like to see a video of this thesis in action, I've included a link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. So, let's keep this AI train a-rollin'. Let's bring in Poulin Desai from Cadence Design Systems. We're talking about that need for speed that we're all looking for in our mobile, AR, VR, surveillance, automotive, robotics designs. And we're talking about basketball. So, yeah. See how I did that? All right, let's go. Hi, Poulin. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Amelia. Nice talking to you.
Okay, so we're talking about vision and AI and all sorts of cool stuff today. So, Poulin, what kind of use cases can you think of that require both a mix of AI and vision?
Yeah, so I was walking the halls of Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, and I was at MediaTek's booth, and they were showing their Helio P60 application processor, and they were showing face detection software, and this is, they call it an AI-accelerated face detection software. And over here, the main thing, you know, we have done face detection on our mobile phones or on our camera, and the main thing, this is AI-accelerated face detection. So in this case, it's very robust. Even if you are not facing the camera, it works. In fact, that booth, they had a young lady with a hat, sunglasses, scarf, and anything like that. If she covers, it was working. And it was running on an APU. They call it AI processing unit. An interesting thing about that was that the face detector is running with AI. But before you do AI, you may have to do some vision processing, like scaling it to get the right size of the image. Other application would be like you could be running a high dynamic range, but instead of doing a simple high dynamic range, you can run an AI to do scene detection. And based on what the AI detects the scene, you can do what I would call an intelligent high dynamic range. Another one will be bokeh. So in bokeh, what you do that you want to focus on certain part of the image, and then other part you want to blur out. Now, something like that you may have done with your digital SLR that may be using some optic. A recent cell phone uses two sensors, versus you could do that with a single camera and AI. So in that case, you could use an AI to do the segmentation of an image, means you can segment out a different part of the image and then say, okay, this is an area of the image where there is face, and then you said rest of the area, I want to blur it and only focus on the face. So now this is also the mix of AI and vision. So we believe that there are a lot of these examples where you have a mix of vision, and we believe that there will be a need for both vision and AI processing in a lot of these mobile devices or various other applications for inferencing.
So can you tell me about some of the new capabilities that are driving this need for speed in mobile, AR, VR, surveillance, automotive, and the drones and robotics markets?
Yeah, so what we see is that there is a trend for what we call an on-device AI. And this on-device AI is happening with, as we talked earlier, with vision and AI together. So there's going to be some vision processing, and then followed by that, there'll be some AI processing. In each market, there is a different factors driving a need for a higher speed requirement. So, for example, in mobile case, there might be more than one camera. It's already there are two cameras. Then it's going to three cameras. The other thing that's happening is we've been doing a lot of still image capture and putting that, you know, over Facebook or the Snapchat. But then there's also a lot of capture people want to do on video capture, as you'll call it. And you want to do a lot of video processing, the vision processing and AI processing at the video rate. In AR, VR standpoint, the biggest challenge with that is the low latency. So any kind of processing you do, you want to do with a low latency. And then on top of it, you want to bring in AI to do object detection, gesture detection, eye tracking. In surveillance camera, the same thing. Then what happens that you are going from a 1080p resolution to the 4K resolution? You want to bring in, make it an intelligent, smart camera. So for example, now the surveillance camera, let's say you have it at home. So when you come at home, then it recognizes you. And when the mailman comes, then it recognizes, versus an intruder comes in, it recognizes. So you are now bringing more intelligence to the camera. The same way in automotive, right? In automotive, you are going to get north of 20 cameras. And each of those cameras will require image processing, because the field of view on each of those cameras are going to be higher than 120 degree. And you need to do AI processing on each of these things. And same thing you could say about a drone and robots. You can think of drones and robots like a drone is like a autonomous automotive which is flying, and the robot is an autonomous automotive that has legs. So anything that you would need for an autonomous things, you would need that for drone and robot. So you could see that all this application where you want to do on-device AI and vision, there is a need for higher vision performance. There's a need for higher AI performance.
Okay, so let's talk about that performance. So how does the Vision Q6 DSP increase performance for vision and AI applications?
Yes, we are introducing this new product called Vision Q6. The first thing I want to bring up is that Vision Q6 is our fifth generation Vision and AI DSP. This is a follow-on to our highly successful Vision P6 DSP, which is really used in multiple mobile platforms. And with the introduction of Vision Q6 DSP, we are offering a 1.5x performance compared to our Vision P6 on vision and AI application. We can also achieve 1.5 gigahertz peak frequency. And one of the things we talked about earlier, that all these application and platforms that we are targeting are in inference devices, handheld devices, where the power is important. And what we are doing with Vision Q6 is we are bringing 1.25x power efficiency at the Vision P6 peak performance. Now, the question is, how do we do that? So the one main thing we are doing there is that we are going to our next generation 13-stage deep pipeline. And by going to this higher deep pipeline, we are able to bring a much higher performance. Other thing is that when you have this kind of a deeper pipeline, when you're running the code, you will have a branch penalty. And we have a very sophisticated branch prediction overhead mechanism. So to avoid the branch overhead mechanism. So this is for the deeper pipeline. On top of it, we also improve the system performance by adding two-channel DMAs and master slave AXI. And then on top of it, we also bring instruction improvement on imaging, computer vision, and AI. And I think the last part I want to emphasize is that when you go from Vision P6 to Q6, they're software compatible. So anybody who has made a Vision software investment in Vision P6, they can preserve that software investment. They can recompile their source code on Q6, and they will be able to utilize the same Vision Q6 and achieve the high performance on Vision Q6. So as you can see, there is a high performance achieved in frequency, high performance instruction set, and at the system level also it's achieving high performance.
But it's not just about DSP though, right, Poulin? What are some of the new features you've added to the AI software platform, and how do you support vision application development?
So it's very important that you bring that up, because as you understand very well that, you know, when you have a DSP core without a software, it's very difficult to use that. And we have spent considerable time providing a software solution for AI and also for vision. So, for example, for AI, we support Google's Android Neural Network API that is available starting with Android 8.1 Oreo operating system. And with this, what you could do is that if you are developing an application, a neural network or AI application on Android devices, Android Neural Network API will allow you to take advantage of hardware acceleration on the platform. And we provide the necessary plumbing like Android Neural Network, Vendor Neural Network, DSP driver. Those are all the things that's necessary to support Android Neural Network API. We also provide something called Extensa Neural Network Compilers. What this does is that if you develop a neural network, we take that neural network and using this compiler generate highly optimized 8-bit fixed point code to run on our DSP. So if you are a system vendor, you don't need to spend a lot of time or any time developing a DSP code. You can focus on developing your neural network and use our compiler to generate the DSP code. So these are the two AI software stuff. And on top of it, we also provide imaging library. We have over 1,500 highly optimized imaging library that our customer can use to develop embedded C, C++ code. We also support OpenCL, and we also support OpenVX. So you could see that we have not only the AI infrastructure, the software infrastructure, but also vision infrastructure that our customer can work with. And thus, it gives you a very comprehensive solution, not only the DSP, but necessary software infrastructure and necessary software library.
Excellent. All right, Poulin, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know you are a big Golden State Warriors fan, and as you know, I am also a Portland Trail Blazers fan. Not the easiest fan to be sometimes, but what are your chances of going all the way this year, Poulin?
I think they are better than your Portland Trail Blazers chances. So that's what I'm hoping
Poulin,
for.
Poulin, that goes without saying.
That goes without saying. So we will find out when Curry comes back. I hope we can go all the way. So we'll have to just beat the Houston. That's what I'm hoping for.
Awesome. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. And as always, thank you so much for joining me, Poulin.
Thank you.
And keeping on trucking with our theme this week, I've got three words for you. Tower-mounted robotics. Wait, or is that two words? Because one has a hyphen. Anyway, yes, what I'm talking about is an innovative new way to protect the power grid here in the United States with AI-powered tower-mounted robots. Okay, a little context here. There's a nonprofit standards body called NERC, or the North American Electric Reliability Corporation. Their focus is to assure the effective and efficient reduction of risks to the reliability and security of the grid. Okay, so as you can imagine, they have a set of standards in which they provide for the industry, and one such requirement under the Critical Infrastructure Protection, or 014 standard, is to develop and implement a documented physical security plan. Enter robots. Okay, so in an article called Using Artificial Intelligence to Protect the U.S. Power Grid, Steve Bowen lays out a plan for just that. The overall goal here would be to turn the power grid's passive security system into an active defense and denial physical protection system. Okay. So here's the plan. With cameras and sensors detecting movement, this defense and denial system would detect, delay, and safely thwart, I love that, safely thwart potential attackers by overwhelming them with directed high-intensity sound, lights, and strobes. Okay. This system would then send what they call actionable intelligence to law enforcement in real time, so the officers can respond appropriately and effectively. If you're interested in checking out this article for yourself, I've included a link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com. Speaking of energy, I have a super cool new episode of Chalk Talk to throw your way this week. In Energy Infrastructure, I sit down with Stephen Shackle from ON Semiconductor, and we chat about a wide range of things from advantages and strategies for designing with high voltage, high temperature, high frequency components to the best solutions for high performance power conversion applications to solutions like IGBTs and wide bandgap materials. You can check out this episode of our long-running webcast series. Seriously, you guys, it's been around for like 13 years. By clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, by checking out the Chalk Talk section of eejournal.com, or just head on over to YouTube. Keyword, EE Journal. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can check out our Fish Fryin' archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of April 27th, 2018, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.